You are listening to a sermon by Lydia Critwell, recorded on Sunday, October 15, 2023, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, thank you for having me here. I will be back again with you in about a month's time in November. But for now, I wanted to talk about with Thanksgiving just passed and kind of harvest time here, I've been thinking about gardening. And for most of my life, I have been a terrible gardener. I've been pretty much a black thumb. I know it's really hard, but I have killed cacti before. Supposedly unkillable plants wither and die under my care for reasons I still am not quite sure about. In the last few years, however, I have started to get better. Not a whole lot better, but somewhat. I actually managed to grow 2 successful tomato plants out of 4 this year. My marigolds have flourished, and it has been several months since I killed a houseplant by overwatering. So I'm probably up to kind of brown thumb status at this point, maybe greenish brown. Back when I had a black thumb, I used to think of good gardening as having all the right knowledge, knowing what kind of soil composition and spot in the yard would work best for which plant, pruning them at just the right time, knowing exactly what to do when pests or diseases struck. I kind of thought of a good gardener as a scientist, a doctor, and a magician all rolled into one. And under that kind of expert care, plants would grow and flourish. But now that I've stuck with this gardening thing for a little while, I realize it's net less about knowledge and more about persistence and humility. The persistence to keep on watering, even in the endless hot days of summer when harvest time seems an awful long way off. The persistence to start again when one of my plants dies for no discernible reason. And the humility to know that however much knowledge I may gain, sometimes a plant dies despite my best efforts. And sometimes, despite all my knowledge, a plant flourishes despite my worst efforts. So in other words, gardening has opened me up to the world of God's creation, a world where I am not in control, a world where there are mysteries beyond my management. And for this reason, as well as many others, I've come to think of gardening as a really important embodied way that I can live into God's story and more fully understand my place, our place in that story. So let me explain. And to explain, I'm going to use what theologians have traditionally called God's 2 books, the book of creation and the book of scripture, because together these 2 books show us a fuller picture of who God is. So first, the book of creation. This book is not a happy story at the moment because creation is sick, because humanity is sick and our sickness has spread to the creation which God gave us to tend and to care for. Creation is polluted with greed as our demands for more and cheaper food sully the soil, the air, the water, and the lives of laborers who have to pick and pack and ship that food. Creation is broken by sin as our global food system creates a world where tons and tons of food is wasted every day in some parts of the world, but people starve to death in other parts. But in spite of all this sin and brokenness, I can still plant a seed in my backyard and watch it grow. And that's especially miraculous to me in my backyard because the people who built my house didn't really bother to clean up the construction site afterwards, but they just kind of squished everything down and then slapped sod over top of it to make it look nice. So the minute you try and dig in my backyard, you get milk bottles and roof tiles and bits of styrofoam and just all sorts of junk. And yet, things still grow. Miraculously, seeds in my backyard still turn into spinach and tomatoes and cucumbers and marigolds and things that nourish and delight me and my housemates and my neighbors. There's a poet priest, Gerard Manley Hopkins, and in one of his poems he says, "For all this sickness, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things, because the Holy Ghost broods over the bent world." Life still springs up within us and within the world because it is God's good pleasure to continue bringing life. Because the Holy Spirit still broods over this bent and sin-sick world. And so when I garden, I am reminded that God still brings life, even in a landscape of death. Secondly, I want us to look at the book of Scripture, specifically at the parable we heard earlier from the Gospel of Mark. Since it's been a few minutes, let me read it to you again. It is quite short and it's quite odd. He, Jesus, also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, he goes in with the sickle because the harvest has come." I'd like us to take note of three things in this parable. First, Hopkins was right. The Holy Ghost really does still brood over the bent world. It's kind of obscured in the English translation, but in the Greek text, we have verbs that are both passive and active here. The man sleeps, active, and he is gotten up, passive. And the seed sprouts, active, and is grown, passive. So while both the seed and the farmer act in and of themselves, they are also acted upon. Creation and humanity act in and of themselves, but they are also acted upon by the spirit who broods over this bent world. Second, as the title of my sermon indicates, there is a mystery here beyond our management. The seed sprouts and grows, and our text specifically says that the farmer has no clue how it happens. Beyond what we can understand and beyond what we can control, life springs up, is grown, and comes to completion. And how that happens and how it continues to happen remains a great mystery to us. Now, I want to say I'm not being scientifically naive here. I know about photosynthesis and the water cycle and nutrients in the soil and all the other scientific reasons why a tiny seed, given water, light, soil, and time, can grow into a big, thriving plant. But that scientific knowledge doesn't lessen the mystery one bit. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. Thanks be to God for this mystery beyond our management, for something that happens, yes, with some of our input, but in some ways just by itself. And third, I want you to notice the sheer absurdity of this parable. I mean, look at what it says in the very first verse. The kingdom of God is like a farmer scattering some seeds on the ground and then going to bed. Actively choosing to go to bed. That's the active verb here. Really? If that's true, then I'm afraid I have been conducting my Christian life all wrong. As many of you know, I spent almost 10 years pastoring at 52nd Church in South Vancouver. And while I may not be employed as a pastor right now, I still seek to live out my calling as part of the priesthood of all believers. But my idea of living out God's call in my life is a lot more active than just scattering seed and going to bed. In fact, I think I confess I spend much of my life as a Christian acting like I'm ushering in God's kingdom all by myself. I rush around working and studying, preaching and praying, thinking and worrying, because I believe deep down if I do not go, 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 then God's kingdom cannot possibly come in all its fullness. I must do all that I can, more than I can sometimes, because the growth of Christ's reign in the world depends, at least in part, on me. God's kingdom is a great mystery. I truly believe that. But I also think somehow that I need to manage it. Now, I'm sure that none of you have ever felt like that. I'm sure that's only my problem, and everyone else has got it all figured out. But here's the gospel this morning on this somewhat rainy Sunday in October of 2023. We are not responsible for bringing in the kingdom. Mark's parable shows us that in no uncertain terms, there is no action that the farmer can take to make the grain be ready for the harvest. There is a role for the farmer here. He's not a mere bystander, but he's a participant in the mystery of growth and harvest. But the emphasis is on the fact that the earth produces of itself, automatos in the Greek. That's where we get the English word automatic, something that works all by itself without extra input from us. Mark's parable offers me hope and a glimpse of a more human, a more humane Christian life, because no action of mine can make my garden grow. Or, for those of you starting to weary with all the garden talk, let me switch to another metaphor for a minute. Being an earthy, crunchy granola sort of woman, I also bake my own bread nearly every weekend, and I've noticed the same phenomenon here. Bread, as anyone who makes it will tell you, is a time-consuming process, and while that's nice and relaxing sometimes, other times it's downright frustrating. I wish I could make my bread rise faster when there's a friend to visit or an appointment to get to. But I can't. The yeast in the dough, the little bit of life embedded in something that is dead, must work all the way through and lighten the dough, causing it to rise. The whole slow, gradual work of rising and growing must be completed before the dough can become bread. Anyone who's ever tried to bake dough before it's ready knows that that is not a recipe for success. And while the growth and rising of the bread has something to do with my work as mixing and shaping the dough, putting in the right setup of ingredients, the right amounts, it's also, in a larger sense, has nothing at all to do with me. And that's a good thing. That's a hopeful thing. I cannot of myself make my spinach or my tomatoes grow. I cannot of myself make my dough rise. It is these utterly earthy realities that remind me more strongly than any intellectual proposition or theological statement that I cannot make the kingdom come by my own power. All I can do, all we can do, is scatter seed and then go to bed. And then be gotten up again and marvel at the life which God is growing in us, in me, and in the world. So, in this age of anxiety, when many of us feel helpless and sometimes even hopeless in the face of the huge problems of the world around us or in our own lives, I encourage you to remember that the grain grows all by itself, and we know not how. You and I most certainly have a role to play in this life. We have a calling to help usher in Christ's kingdom, but that role has both active and passive parts. There are times when you are called to scatter seed, to work hard for the good of the world and the good of God's kingdom. And there are times when you are called to go to sleep and let God's work continue on without your participation. And in both the scattering and the sleeping, in both the active and the passive phases of your daily life, you will be grown and matured by Christ. Just as the grain slowly matures over time, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. Just as the dough slowly rises, so the kingdom is slowly but persistently coming. And one day, Christ's kingdom will be here in all its fullness. And then the true harvest and the true day of thanksgiving will come. Amen.